Mary's song, the Magnificat, the song of the angels' announcement to the shepherds, Simeon's song of praise in the temple, the Issues, Etc. book of the month is titled The Songs of Christmas. This new arch book would make a great Christmas gift for children ages 2 through 10. The Songs of Christmas is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. A great stocking stuffer for young children or grandchildren, The Songs of Christmas.
The year of your birth, there was a prophecy that our leader would be born to liberate us.
That leader is you, Moses.
After 400 years of slavery, things here have become much worse. As your brother, you must set them free.
Is that a threat?
Yes!
I want Moses and his family dead.
What is the most important thing in your life?
Who you are, and when will you leave me?
Never.
Let's just see who's more effective at killing.
You.
Or me.
Pharisees! Is it meant to humble me? Because it will not!
I came to tell you, something is coming that is far beyond you and I. This is about Egypt's survival, do you understand?
Who has been telling you this?
God.
I am a God.
I am a God!
Follow me and you will be free!
That's the trailer to the movie Exodus, Gods and Kings, starring Christian Bale as Moses. It is highly anticipated. It comes on the heels of another, what was promised to be a big biblical blockbuster, Noah, that proved to be, well, not so much biblical and not so much a blockbuster. What's the difference between this one and that one? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Thursday afternoon. It's the 18th of December. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be reviewing the movie Exodus, Gods and Kings. Pastor Ted Giese will join us here for the first half hour or so. After that, the church is remembering on the 19th, that is tomorrow, our very first parents, Adam and Eve, who appear not only in the first chapters of the Bible, but figure prominently in the New Testament, in particular the writings of Paul, in a number of ways, and references in the Gospels as well. We'll talk about Adam and Eve. Dr. Thomas Winger will be our guest, author of the forthcoming Concordia Commentary on the Book of Ephesians. Then, our series, Christ in the Old Testament, today will be in 2 Samuel 7 with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. You can join us with questions or comments for the next 2 hours of the program, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio. We'll get it in real time. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc. Our beloved on-demand listeners are free to use the Issues Etc. comment line anytime, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Joining us to review the movie Exodus, Gods and Kings, Pastor Ted Giese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he's taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, a Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
Obvious comparisons will be made between one earlier biblical blockbuster, Noah, and Exodus, Gods and Kings. How would you say they compare to one another?
Well, first off, I kind of wish this one had come out before Noah. But in terms of comparison, having a little bit of distance from Darren Aronofsky's Noah and now looking at Exodus, Gods and Kings, I would have to say that Aronofsky's Noah really comes off as being a very opinionated film, right? Like, we had talked about how it was like his creative writing project, and he was really telling you his opinion about things. It was chocked full of this kind of cryptic, extra-biblical mysticism, and there was also this undercurrent and sometimes right in your face kind of environmentalist kind of concerns that were coming out in the movie. When you look at it, it really felt like it was propaganda for something. I'm not exactly 100% sure for what, but it was propaganda for something. That's Darren Aronofsky's Noah. It had kind of the Kabbalah kind of stuff going on in it. Then when you look at Ridley Scott's Exodus, Gods and Kings, it's a very different film because it's really a movie about the story, and he's not using it to prop up some kind of social justice issue of some kind. He's not really terribly interested in it being a soapbox for something. He seems like, in this movie, that the director, Ridley Scott, is really wrestling with the story of Moses. And he's kind of doing it as a recovering atheist. He used to be a guy who would say that he was an atheist. Now he rather talks about himself as an agnostic. So in the course of it, there's this kind of struggle with the possibility of the divine and the material, kind of materialist kind of worldview as well. But you don't get that kind of Gnostic flavor to this movie. It's much more reserved, pared down, subdued, and really focused in on the story itself, more than the stuff kind of floating around it.
So it's a movie about Moses per se. How does the character of God fare in Exodus, Gods and Kings?
That's really interesting because I think that I try not to read a lot of other people's reviews. Like that's not really why I'm interested in doing this kind of thing. So I watch the movie, I do my review, and then kind of talk to you guys, pass it around a little bit, and I'm done. But there's so much hubbub about this movie and internet chatter and stuff that's hard to avoid. And honestly, sometimes I think that, like, I've sat down and watched this movie, and I don't even know if the people, other people writing, even watched the same movie. Or clearly they don't have enough tools in their tool belt to see what was going on, particularly when it came to God in this movie. So, one great thing, Darren Aronofsky's Noah, God was so incredibly remotely distant that he was hardly even there at all. And you didn't ever have him say a blessed word. And in the actual text of Scripture, and Darren, like in Noah, like that part of Genesis when Noah's involved in that, God is the one who's chatty and talking, not Noah. So now, like, we look at Exodus, Gods and Kings, and we've got God involved in the story much more personally, but he is being represented by an angel. So, you know, he's literally a messenger. And this is this played by a young actor, a 12-year-old boy. And a lot of people are watching this movie and saying that that 12-year-old boy is God. And that's not the case. So that's a whole, it just kind of makes a different kind of dynamic. What you get is this relationship between God through this messenger, this kind of angel, and Moses is one where at first Moses is has quite a lot of trepidation, fear, some awe of God through this messenger, and then along the way as the story progresses he moves to kind of an antagonistic relationship, and then finally to one of camaraderie by the end of the film.
So that at the outset, really shows, I mean, I don't want to harp on the deviations, although you do say in your review that the movie goes wrong in the details and really kind of diminishes the biblical story in terms of the details. But that's hardly a detail. I mean, the biblical narrative casts God as the primary actor in the entire event of the Exodus, the crossing of the Red Sea, with Moses as his agent. This would, it appears from what you're saying, God is kind of a held at arm's length here, and Moses is the great deliverer.
And it's a little more complicated than that, because narratively he does something kind of interesting, Ridley Scott does. The thing to remember about Ridley Scott is that he's not representing the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's not been contracted by the Roman Catholic Church. If he was, if the International Lutheran Council had got him to make this movie, I would be raking it over the coals, because you know all of these details would be unconscionable if we were doing it, but we're not. This is a guy who's, you know, now thankfully is like really considering kind of what might be, you know, as an agnostic. But he's not, he's absolutely not a professing Christian here. He's not representing a church body. He can make some changes of things, much to my own personal chagrin, but he can. And he's struggling with this biblical text. So what he does is this: he takes that initial meeting with Moses. And in Scripture, there's a lot of information that Moses is given, and he kind of doesn't give Moses all that information. Ridley Scott doesn't in the course of his movie. And what has happened is he gets Moses on the trail back, compelling him to go to Egypt to rescue the people. And Moses, who he's already set up as a character, is somebody who grew up in the Pharaoh's family, who was a general in the army of the Pharaoh, and who had skills at warfare. Moses shows up, and he thinks to himself, well, we're going to liberate these people by kind of guerrilla warfare. And he tries to do that. And he has very limited success and basically is failing. And that's when, using this messenger, God speaks to him again and says, now watch what I can do. And that's when the plagues start. So Ridley Scott is on purpose, you know, giving Moses not as much information as scripturally he has, in order to set up this dramatic paradigm shift in the story, where suddenly God is the one propelled into action who does do the rescuing of the people. And it escalates so quickly outside of anything that Moses could possibly ever do, and becomes very clearly, by the end of the plagues, something that's outside of himself and could not be a delusion or anything like that. It is something bigger than Pharaoh, who thinks himself a god, who's been told that he's a god, Moses, or anybody else in the story. And that's kind of interesting.
So just briefly before we take our first break, that while obviously, you know, license is taken with the narrative, that actually, to my way of thinking, is a bonus. I mean, it really is kind of a virtue there of the story, that the action is put into God's hands.
It's a big surprise. I didn't know that was going to happen. I tried to avoid a lot of stuff before seeing the movie. It was hard to avoid everything, but I didn't know that was going to happen. There was a movie a number of years ago with Hilary Swank in it where, you know, they kind of played off of the plagues, the 10 plagues, and she was the character was one who was, you know, an atheistic, materialist scientist who was trying to disprove everything. And that one, they did all of this very, like, it's just naturalistic causes, one like a domino, causing these things to all happen. And in this movie, it kind of gets a little bit like that going in the beginning. But as soon as you start hitting things like darkness and the death of the firstborn, it's like it's so clearly not any natural explanation of that. And plus, at the very beginning of the whole thing, you have God through this messenger saying, now see what I can do, and that's when the plagues start.
Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. We're reviewing the movie Exodus, Gods and Kings. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts and he's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. Another 15 minutes with him. I invite your questions and comments. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE.
And we're going to have a ball just like we always do.
The world celebrates its Christmas because its Christ was born and wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger.
The Church's Christmas, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
The Church celebrates her Christmas because the true Christ was crucified and wrapped in burial cloths and laid in the tomb.
For any size year-end donation, we'll send you an audio link of this sermon and an Advent sermon preached by Todd. Donate online at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Please include your email address in the memo line. Thanks for listening and thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. when you consider your year-end giving. issuesetc.org. or Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, and write your email address in the memo line of your check.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Rocking around the Christmas tree.
Have a holly jolly Christmas.
It's the most wonderful time.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell.
Tired of an endless loop of pop Christmas music? Coming December 24th, sacred music for the Christmas season, LutheranPublicRadio.org. Serenity. Stability. Solemnity. Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the Christmas season, coming Christmas Eve at LutheranPublicRadio.org.
We're reviewing the movie Exodus, Gods and Kings. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He's also taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, a Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. He does these weekly reviews with us, and we greatly appreciate it. Really something you won't find any place else. And he writes these reviews. He has an excellent review of Exodus, Gods and Kings. You'll find a link to it at our website. Share it around. There's a share feature right there at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand, and you'll find both this interview, and I encourage you to share it, and his review as well, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Ted, let's talk a little bit about the big event you mentioned before, the plagues, which I'm glad to see that they kind of depict them in that way. What about the crossing of the Red Sea, the other big miracle that is featured at either end of God's deliverance in the Old Testament?
Yeah, that's pretty interesting, too. Now, like I mentioned that movie with Hilary Swank, that's called The Reaping from 2007. Some people may have seen it. Also, another really good detail about this movie, Exodus, Gods and Kings, all 10 of the plagues are in it. They don't gloss over any of them. There's not like just somebody talking about a couple of them or something. All of them are in there in successive order. And then the crossing of the Red Sea, again, you're not going to get what you got when you saw the Ten Commandments movie, which actually is a movie that in that particular case follows more literally exactly what you get in Scripture. It talks about the wall of water on the left and the wall of water on the right, and then them going across on dry ground. Again, in the movie Prince of Egypt, you get the same kind of thing. Those movies have a very dramatic way of doing it. In this one, it's portrayed as kind of a naturalistic kind of thing. However, already by that point in the movie, it has been established that God is the one who's working through through the means of nature at his disposal to make these things happen. So what happens is it looks like there's a meteorite or something, and there's a some sort of geological event that causes the water to go out in a very dramatic way, like a giant tide. But it happens slowly. So this last August, we were at the Bay of Fundy in North America here by Nova Scotia, and they have these tides where it just goes out, the highest tides on the planet, and the tide just goes out forever, and it's just this big, big, huge area you can walk out into. So it's a little bit like that. Like the Israelites go to sleep in the morning, they wake up, and the water is gone. And they're able to start going across, and on their tails comes Pharaoh and his, you know, the remaining people in his army on the way to slaughter them. So, again, if you're not paying attention to exactly how this movie is unfolding, you may just get irritated again at that point. But Ridley Scott has firmly established that God is the one doing it. So, starting off with blood in the water moving to like little gnats and flies and moving his way up to control of darkness, and then now it's this massive, huge, giant scale thing going on with the parting, like the crossing of the Red Sea. It's interesting, but again, this is an agnostic guy who's wrestling with the text, who then definitely says, you know, we're going to have it where God wins. And God is actually God in it. Maybe not exactly the way we would want, and maybe not exactly the way Scripture has it, but compared to Aronofsky's Noah, it's just, or that the Bible, the miniseries, like that movie, like gave me hives. I could hardly watch it. It drove me bonkers. And again, that Son of God movie, that was from that Bible, the miniseries, like those ones were just so incredibly difficult to watch. This is not in the same ballpark.
In terms of just like laying aside its biblical origins, in terms of simply going to watch a movie that will entertain, that will engage, what would you say of it, Ted?
Some people have found it to be kind of melodramatic, maybe, or not as maybe not exactly what they're looking for. I'm interested in the fact that, you know, people on the far left also just don't like it because of that whole accusation of whitewashing, and maybe also they don't like it because of the way God is portrayed in it, and maybe, you know, it's not quite materialistic enough. I don't know, but basically at its core, what you get is this. You get the story of this guy, Moses, who goes from being a religious, essentially an atheist who knows about religion, even knows about the religion of the Hebrew slaves in Egypt. And he goes, his character arc is to go from that to, by the end of the movie, being a man of faith, and specifically faith in the Hebrew God. The B plot of it is the children of Israel being rescued out of slavery. And the bridge between those two things is the relationship between Moses and Pharaoh. And that's the human interest element of it. And that, again, is something that's kind of an invention. It's not scripturally tenable. And there's your movie. So if that sounds like something that might be interesting to you, then, you know, that might be, you know, a way to go. I think that anybody who goes into this movie, or if they sit down to watch The Prince of Egypt or The Ten Commandments, they got to remember that these people have taken liberties with the original text. If you actually really want to know about Moses, and you want to know what God did to liberate the children of Israel out of their slavery, go to Scripture, read the book of Exodus, read the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7 with St. Stephen there talking about everything, read Hebrews chapter 11, those are the places you're going to find the actual story that you can, like, trust and have true faith in. But in terms of a movie, I think it's kind of amazing that this guy made this movie.
One of my concerns is there's hardly a person who grew up with the yearly broadcast of the Ten Commandments who can honestly say that when I say the word Moses, they don't picture Charlton Heston in a wig and a fake beard. That's what you picture. That's
absolutely
the image that has been burned into our minds. I can see it in my mind's eye right now, and it's the one, the default image that comes when I say when I invoke the name Moses for a lot of people, especially Americans. What are your concerns there about this film that could be kind of the image setting, the icon setting film for people's reference to the Old Testament story of the Exodus? I have my own concerns about it, the Ten Commandments, but those, laying those aside, what about this one?
I think if they're not carefully paying attention as the movie's unfolding, they may walk away with the idea that Ridley Scott has depicted God as a 12-year-old. And this movie is not The Shack. This movie is not Dogma with Alanis Morissette, the Canadian pop singer, playing God. That's not what's going on in this movie. I think that people need to be just a little careful as they're watching it, pay attention to the actual dialogue and what's going on in it, and be just careful that they don't end up walking away from it thinking, oh, that's the movie where God's a 12-year-old, because that's really not actually what's going on in the movie.
With only about 30 seconds here, any concerns about kids seeing it?
Well, you know, it's rated like PG or something. It's not PG-13, PG. There's not a lot of sex in it. Like really, that's not a thing in this movie. In fact, you know, Moses is very virtuous when it comes to that part of his life. You know, there is some violence in it. You know, if you're going to sit down with kids and watch a movie about the Exodus, maybe sit down and watch The Prince of Egypt or The Ten Commandments. But, you know, if you've seen those ones a long time and maybe you've got teenage kids or something like that and you want to, you know, take another swing at this and look at another movie that's dealing with this, then take a look at this one. You're going to have a lot to talk about with each other afterwards. And keep your ears peeled, like your eyes peeled, your ears ready for conversations about this, because this movie is kind of, for whatever reason, has gotten under a lot of people's skin. So there's going to be lots of people in your life that may want to talk about it. And if that's the case, you know, A, good if you have seen it. B, good if you can pass on some information from somebody who did see it as well. But just be ready, because it does kind of open a conversation about God, redemption, the nature of faith in a person's life, even being reluctantly dragged, kicking and screaming into your faith. Which is an interesting element of this as well, that, you know, he's not rushing onward towards his faith. He's being dragged by God into it, and that's an interesting element of the movie.
Pastor Ted Giese is associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, and he's taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, thank you very much for being our guest.
You're welcome.
Folks, if you've enjoyed our movie reviews over this last year with Pastor Ted Giese, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible contribution to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. For any sized year-end donation, we will send you an audio link to an Advent and a Christmas sermon preached by me. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues, etc., and send it to Issues, etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate online at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us as you think over your year-end giving. When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Thomas Winger. We're going to talk about our first parents, Adam and Eve. They appear at the very beginning of the Bible, and then they reappear in the New Testament in some very important ways. We'll take up Adam and Eve that the church remembers on the 19th of December with Pastor Thomas Winger right after this. Thank you for donating almost $80,000 to Issues Etc. in the past month. With 2 weeks left in 2014, we're $22,000 short of expenses. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift online at issuesetc.org, or you can contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us at the end of the year.
Clark, it's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
Maybe getting a faithful pastor seems as exciting as a membership in the Jelly of the Month Club, but that kind of thinking can lead to the unbiblical removal of pastors from the office of the Holy Ministry, the topic of our next ACELC conference, February 10th through 12th in Kansas City, Missouri. Register at acelc.net, because faithful pastors really are a gift that keeps on giving. See why at acelc.net.
Fall is here, and it's time to toss your boots and pack your suits to escape the chill of winter. Opening its doors this December in Mexico, Hyatt Ziva is the perfect repose for all-inclusive splendor. With 9 restaurants, bars, and lounges to choose from each day, and sumptuous suites to retreat to each night, Hyatt Ziva is the only one in the region with a secluded beach. And for a limited time, you can enjoy a discount as part of their grand opening celebration. Call your travel agent or visit all-inclusive.
This is Pastor Miller of Trinity Lutheran Church in Bay Ridge. We preach, teach, and confess the historic Catholic faith. For a refuge from the pop spirituality and shallow preaching that swirls about in our day, come to our haven at 9020 3rd Avenue in Brooklyn. In addition to Mrs. Solano's Sunday School at 9:30, we have liturgy at 11 a.m., followed by a fellowship meal and Bible study after the service. You're invited to come and be a part of Trinity, a biblical and sacramental church. Visit TrinityBayRidge.org.
Essential exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.